and welcome to the Dot Ball Cricket Podcast, where we discuss all manner of South African cricket stories, both domestically and internationally with the Proteas. Of course, we're in midwinter in South Africa at the moment, so there's really not much domestic cricket to talk about, but the Proteas are about to start a T20 series in India. I'm delighted to have with me two former Proteas in Paul Harris and John Kent. Hello, gentlemen.
How's it?
Hello, Ken.
Yeah, hi, guys. Hi, guys. Proteas have been out of action for a little bit, but returning on the 8th of June for the start of a T20 series in India, five matches. And, John, let's start with you. How excited are you for this? And just put maybe the series into some sort of context for us.
Yeah, I think that a lot of guys in these two teams have been playing plenty of very competitive cricket in the IPL. So a lot of guys will be pretty much at the peak of their powers. There's a few guys that even through the IPL, maybe they were there, didn't play too much cricket. One or two of those, say Van der Dussen and Gidi, they didn't really play a whole bunch of cricket. And then you look a little bit wider, like the Shamjis, the Keshav Maharajas. They haven't had that much competitive cricket since our season finished. I think it's going to be a very tough, obviously, series in their own conditions, but I'm very excited about, obviously our top order of Quinny de Kock, Markram's playing beautifully and David Miller's playing the best he ever has done. So I'm really excited about that. And obviously the new faces in the whole setup as well. There's obviously Stubbs that's come into the mix, not too much else, but obviously excited to see what he can muster in his sort of debut series.
John, I must say, I like the look of the Proteas squad and I like our chances. Paul, we've had half a dozen guys who've done really well in the IPL in those conditions, so they're going to be fit. You fancy putting some money on South Africa maybe winning the series?
Well, I think you'll get some decent odds. I think India is still probably favourites because they are at home. They are a bloody good T20 side. So, you've got to say they're favourites because of the fact that it's in India. But having said that, we've had a few guys in our squad that have done superbly well in those conditions for the last few months. So I hope that this quashes all sort of discussions on David Miller for the rest of time. because, he's been a brilliant performer for South Africa in white ball cricket for a very long time. You look at his stats. They are quite incredible. And the fact that he gets so much abuse, and people always query his position, astounds me. But great to see him answer his critics and was probably one of the standout players at the IPL. And obviously bringing home the trophy will give him the world of, confidence, which we want. We want our senior players to be full of confidence. Quinton de Kock, we know what he can do. And I'm excited to see our spinners. We had such a great summer with our spinners. Looking forward to seeing Kesh and Shamo, doing exactly what they did towards the end of the summer here in South Africa. It's exciting times. I do agree with you. I think the squad looks really good. We have all our bases covered. We've got some good pace in Jansen and Rabada. With the spin base covered, our top order is looking good. I agree. I'd like to see Tristan Stubbs get some game time. Let's see how good he is. And in total, it's a pretty good squad. Having said that, so is the Indian squad.
Absolutely. John, I'm quite excited as well by the fact that we seem to have a pretty settled idea, I think, of our T20 side. We can just run through quickly, and it probably won't, in my opinion, change much from de Kock, Bavuma, Markram, Van der Dussen, Miller. I'm excited to see Tristan Stubbs get a go at number six. Heinrich Claassen can also bat there. He was in really good form towards the end of the summer. You've got Dwayne Pretorius, the two spinners that Paul mentioned, Anrich Nokia, Kagiso Rabada. It's a pretty settled sort of 11, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the sort of way they're lining up is two quicks with two spinners and then the one all-rounder. And then, obviously, we're looking at the all-rounder options. There's Pretorius is there, who's been at the IPL. Janssen's there as well. And then Parnell, obviously, late bloomer, he's back into the mix as well. So two left-arm options. You've got to maybe look at, say, would you like a slightly more heavy bowling seamer all-rounder? Would you like someone a bit more, stronger in the batting department? So, obviously, Pretorius would probably be stronger in that batting department. Parnell offers both, and Jansen's got a, I think, a lot of opportunity to grow as a batsman also after coming on the scene as a left-arm quick bowler. I think if he can really work on his batting, his hitting, his ball striking, he'll obviously become a massive asset going forward. He's the future.
Yeah, and of course that crucial sixth bowler situation is sorted out with Aidan Markram, and just great that he's in really good form still with the bat in T20 cricket. Let's not forget that he was named in the ICC T20 Team of the Year last year. So it is the one format where he's assured of his place and is a key player for South Africa. John, Tristan Stubbs, you impressed by what you've seen of him. Do you believe he can, with Miller, provide that sort of power hitting at the end of the innings?
Yeah, I've seen a few sort of lineups that guys are starting to throw out there on Twitter and that, and I saw someone said, no, maybe Miller should come in at 3, Funderdussen at 5, Stubbs at 6. And, you know, anyway, you work around it, I suppose. You just got to work out who as a package needs to face the most balls. You know, who's the most powerful? De Kock obviously is up there. Markram's batting out his socks. Miller's quality. Funderdussen might take a little bit of time to get in, but if he needs to go from ball one, he can do that as well. I suppose, yeah, they all, I suppose, would love to get a few more balls under their belts, you know what I mean, before they have to come and whack it. But, you know, each of those players is pretty adaptable.
Paul, does it work on batting positions in T20 cricket, or do teams go, right, we want this guy to come in at such and such an over? And if the team is one down or four or five down, that's when we want him in.
Look, I think there's got to be an element of sort of flexibility in within your order. I mean, you'd obviously have your sort of openers would be, I would imagine, say the same for the, you know, unless something happens, someone gets injured or something, but your openers would say the same. And then you'd like to sort of have a look and see where the game is. I think, you know, it's maybe been a criticism of South African teams in the past that are not flexible enough and sort of stick to that batting order. But you want to get your form players and your X-factor players in as soon as possible. You know, your likes of your Aidan Markram, I mean, I'd love to see him batting 3. You know, David Miller, why can't he bat 4? You know, get these guys are in form. Let's get them up the order. Let's get them facing as many deliveries as possible. You know, if one of those two guys bats 10 of the 20 overs, you've set yourself up brilliantly to win the game. So there needs to be an element of flexibility in there. But certainly getting your best players and your sort of X-factor players up to face as many deliveries as possible.
Yeah, I also would like to see Markram at 3. I guess the problem with Miller coming at 4 is then you've got Rassie van der Dussen, and you might get a situation where he drops sort of too far down the order and then doesn't bat. But Rassie is surely good enough to come in after Miller and be the sort of guy to provide Miller with the strike. Isn't that a valuable role in itself, Paul?
Totally. Look, I think he can play both games. I think he's good enough to play both. I actually think he's probably better at smacking it out the ground than he is at working it around. Sometimes he can get a bit stuck when in the beginning of his knock when he's trying to work it around. But when there's only one way to go and he has to clear the ropes, we've seen what he can do. He's incredibly destructive. The reason why I say I'd like to see Miller at 4 is because he's the informed batter. He's the one who's been, you know, he's got the sort of, you know, the run of luck is on his side as well. He's got confidence. He's, you know, he's just been playing. You know, he's the two main guys that have been playing in India the last little while are Aidan Markram and David Miller. So you'd want them to face as many deliveries as possible at game time. Would it be a bit unlucky on Rassie? Sure, but I mean, he can play both sides of that. And also, if you lose one or two, you know you've got that sort of solid rock sort of down the order. So I certainly, that's the sort of lineup I would go with. I'd get my two players that are in form that have been in India facing the most deliveries.
Yeah, John, I think I read somewhere or heard somewhere that Gujarat Titans, of course, who won the IPL, Gary Kirsten involved there. And their thinking was, now, I mean, for a long time, I think cricket has been, the cricket strategy has been that everyone has their specific roles and they must know their roles and be able to execute those. John, do you think we're shifting towards a situation now in cricket where everyone is expected to be able to do all the roles? That it's now just, if that's the match situation when you come in, you must be able to adapt?
Yeah, I think the, you know, you talk about, say, something specific like the power play. You can't have, you can't be going at five and over and those sort of things. It's very clear that you need to go at tens for the power play. That's the aim. That's what you're there for. And if obviously if you can't do it, then, you know, you've got to move on swiftly and find someone else who can do it. But that's the type of specific skill or role of a batting unit. Someone has to play that way. And that's the way it is. So they've got certain tactics. I know you talked about Gary Kirsten, David Miller. Something's obviously been unlocked there during the series. And it's actually brilliant. So it's really when someone clicks and they just, you know, the penny drops, for instance, and he just says, I just need to impose myself a lot more. Rather than knock the ball around, like, you know, try and get myself going, get in there, take the game by the scruff of the neck, and go play your natural game. And he's obviously been given that freedom to go and do exactly that. And look what's, you know, what's been achieved has been brilliant.
Paul, just looking at the India squad for a bit, they're missing quite a few players who I think fans would normally expect to see in the Indian team, like Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, Jasprit Bumrah, Mohammad Shami. But there do seem to be a lot of players in that squad who've also had very good IPLs.
Look, I mean, they spoil for choice, really, if you look at it. They've got a sort of plethora of players that can come in. I mean, obviously, you're losing a guy like Virat, although he wasn't in the best of form, is always a loss. Bumrah as well. I mean, you kind of, you know, probably one of the best, if not the best, white ball bowler seamer in the world. So that is a big loss, but they've got guys to come in. I like to see Dinesh Kartik back in that mix. He had a wonderful IPL. You know, he can kind of bat anywhere from 1 to 7. You know, you can kind of put him anywhere, and the guy will get runs. Heavily experienced, as he must be, because he was still playing when I was playing. So he must be pretty experienced. So you know, they've got their bases covered. You know, spinners, seamers. They've got a good top order. They've got guys that are experienced in those conditions. But having said that, they're coming against a very hungry, sort of off-the-field, stress-free for the first time in about a billion years African cricket team, who are out to prove a point. So they're going to have their A game, otherwise they will be upset in their backyard.
Let's not jinx it, Paul. Something might be around the corner in South African cricket that we don't know
You never know. Eh? Don't hold your breath.
Let's try and stay positive. John, that Indian squad, there are a couple of bowlers there that South African fans probably haven't seen before unless they've watched a lot of IPL guys like Ashdeep Singh, Avesh Khan, Umran Malik. What have you seen of these guys? What do you make of them?
I think the man who was the quickest bowler in the tournament, he was absolutely brilliant to watch and a real excitement factor. People are talking about him. He's bowling upper 150s. That's pretty amazing stuff. Like you mentioned, Shami earlier, he was, you know, the way he started that RPL final, no nerves. He hit the deck hard. He tried to take wickets along with the Bumrahs. But, yeah, there's lots of important players they want to kick on as well. They want a guy like Rishabh Pant to really start, you know, winning a lot of games for them. But obviously, we talk about the Kohlis, and he's been struggling for a very long time. But the Rohits and those sort of guys, they've battled of late. They struggled in the IPL, and there are some players that are going to get an opportunity here. And this is a real big chance for them to stake a claim and try again the World Cup side. And with those, you know, household names being out of form of late.
Speaking of the IPL final, Paul, Hardik Pandya, what a cricketer he is. We've always known he's a very dangerous batsman, but now that he's back bowling again, and he was bowling 140 in that final with a lot of skill as well.
Sure, he's one of those players that have sort of proved me wrong. I always say there were two players in my career, Farhan Baradeen, who I thought was rubbish, and turned out to be an amazing cricketer, and now, you know, he's come along and done the same thing. Hardik Pandya, I thought he was sort of not good enough at either. To sort of make it in sort of certainly international cricket. But he's certainly come and proved me wrong. He's the type of guy that wants to win. You can see it. He's a out-and-out competitor, hates losing, in your face, bats well, bowls quickly, as you said now, and can field like a demon. So proved me wrong. I will definitely turn my television on to watch him. He's one of those sort of cricketers. And it's wonderful to see him doing so well. And it's going to be great to watch him playing against us. I mean, as a team, you want to play against the best. And he certainly is up there at the moment with one of the best sort of white ball cricketers in the world, especially in those conditions.
John, just looking at the schedule, they play in Delhi on the 8th of June and then Cuttack on the 12th, Visakhapatnam on the 14th, Rajkot 17th, and Bengaluru on the 19th of June. So, wow. John, you've done a bit of traveling around India. Obviously, that's going to be a lot of travel in a short space of time. I know it's aeroplanes and everything, but is that going to be a bit of a hurdle for the Proteas to overcome as well?
Yeah, I think there will be some fatigue setting in for some guys who have been out there for 2 months with the RPL and strict bubbles. And, you know, I'm not quite sure exactly how strict the bubbles will be for a series like this, to be honest. But yeah, I don't know. It's almost what your current day player, fly in, play the next day, play somewhere else, just get an autopilot and carry on playing. So, you know, in the past, you know, a lot of players will like to settle in and have a few warm-up games and something like that. But I heard a stat the other day that Rashid Khan, since he's made his debut the last 6 years or something, on average, he's playing a T20 game every 6 days, which is, you know, like that's through a course of a career. You know, obviously some tournaments he plays every second day, some he plays every second week, but every 6 days he's playing a T20 game is amazing. So it's almost like your modern day cricketer, I don't know, you want to say they're seeming to cope with this workload, but you know, the fixture schedule, because the RPL takes 2 months out of your international fixture list, your international fixtures are also, you're into the country, you're playing games immediately, you know, all these warm-up games are pretty much a thing of the past.
Don't feel too sorry for them. They play every 6 days. But when they finish playing, they don't have to work like an idiot like me.
So, they're getting six figures with 6 days, yeah.
Correct. Yeah, so, yeah. So don't feel too sorry for them. By the time they're 40, they're not staying up until 12 at night replying to emails.
Oh, man.
Or chatting on podcasts.
Sure, yeah. Or chatting on podcasts.
But, I mean, John, that's an incredible stat. I mean, that works out to some quick maths in my head. So that's basically 60 games a year, 5 games a month. So he's playing a T20 every week of the year, at least, which is a tremendous workload. I have heard, by the way, that the series in India at the moment is going to be played like going back to normal. There's no bubble, apparently. I think the players have just been told to avoid big crowds and that sort of thing. So, which is quite hard at times in India. But yeah, so good news, things hopefully going back to a bit more normality, on the international cricket front. Paul, big picture, obviously the T20 World Cup coming up October, November. It's in Australia, first of all. How much can the Proteas learn looking ahead to the World Cup from playing in India? And what are some of the things you think they need to focus on with that World Cup in mind?
Look, the conditions will be completely different. There'll be a lot more bounce, a lot more carry in Australia. The fields are ginormous. So there, working the strike in the beginning is probably the way to go, running your ones and twos and threes hard. So, you know, different conditions, but in terms of getting the team together, getting some game time together, you know, getting that best 11, which I think there's a very good idea of it, you know, blooding some new guys, although you don't want to blood too many because you want to get that winning culture and that winning squad going and keeping them, you know, the same team going for a period of time. And then, you know, this can give a lot of confidence. You know, you go to India, win in India, you know, or put at least a really good footing in India and push them all the way. Gives the team a lot of confidence going into that World Cup. You know, it's amazing how things can change in sport. I mean, a month ago, Mark Boucher under the cosh, a couple of months later, he could be winning the World Cup. So, you know, I think we've got a really good chance to win that World Cup. We've got the squad, I think, that can do it. We'll need a bit of luck along the way, as you do in those sort of T20, big T20 tournaments. But I'm actually I'm quietly confident with this squad that, you know, we could surprise a few. I don't think we're going in as a favorite. Which possibly helps us. But, you know, one step at a time, let's try and, you know, put a good footing, try win the series in India. The good news is that the places they're going to, they won't be great places to go out anyway. So they should be fine. I don't think there's too much going on in Rajkot. But in general, I think that this use this as a, you know, as a little bit of an experimental time to get the best combinations going, get some confidence in that squad, get our fast bowlers going because we're going to need them in Australia. And most importantly, you know, start enjoying it again. You know, with all that stuff off the field, it must have been very difficult. The enjoyment factor couldn't have been great. And I know they're quite a close-knit unit. They keep saying that. But get that enjoyment factor back, play with smiles and faces and express yourself.
Mm. Yeah, John, realistically, there are probably only three or four players jostling really for positions at the World Cup. Stubbs, obviously, we need to see him handle the pressures of international cricket. Let's hope he does, because I think he's extremely exciting. You've got a guy like Marco Jansen who maybe there's a question mark about him in T20 cricket. Reeza Hendricks, I guess, is always playing for his place to an extent. And Wayne Parnell, whether he can make quite a dramatic comeback back into the Proteas fold. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, you look at the immediate squad that's been chosen. You've got to say, okay, who are the guys that maybe have just missed out or close by that are still within touching distance after this year's T20 competition. In the ODI form, I suppose there's Yanaman Malans in the region. I suppose a Libbard had a good T20 tournament with Stubbs in the Warriors team. Obviously Paul mentioned that point about the quick bowlers and the skill and execution for that big tournament needs to be really on key. And we also need to maybe give the guys a lot of, we're obviously among winning, trying to win every single game with our strongest bowling lineup, for instance, with Rabada and Nokia. You know, we're going to need to have a look at more of Jansen. We need to look more at Ngidi to make sure they are, you know, not too short of a gallop by the time that the tournaments come closer. So I suppose I'm a little bit worrying with Andrik Nokia with his long sort of injury layoff since sort of January. So she's got to try to keep her eye on managing those men up to the big World Cup.
After this India tour, as things stand at the moment, the only other T20s South Africa have scheduled before that World Cup are three T20s in England and one against Ireland also in England. So one imagines there's not too much time, Paul Harris, for experimentation.
No, I'm not a big fan of experimentation in general, but I think there's going to be a few guys that, like Stubbs is going to need to get a chance. Just to see, you know, where he's at, because he could be quite dangerous at the World Cup. So I think he'd be the one that I would give most of the opportunities to if we're going to try and sort of fiddle around a bit. But in general, let's stick to a sort of match-winning team. Let's stick to the team we think is the best. As you said, there aren't many games to come. Although, you know, the guys do play a lot of cricket, as John mentioned, and they have got quite a bit coming up before the World Cup. So, just get the right combinations together and get into that winning habit.
Yeah, thanks very much, Paul and John, for your time. And don't forget, for you, the listener, you can subscribe to us just so that you know exactly when every podcast drops. And you can also follow us on Twitter at the Dotball Podcast. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll chat again after the T20 series in India. Goodbye.